Hey, everybody. It's September. One of my favorite months, kind of. The kids go back to school. The weather changes a little bit, but still beautiful. My birthday's in September. And almost every September, I get to talk to Roger in the cafe. Woo!
Hello. Welcome from sunny L.A.
Listen to you. That's pretty fabulous. So you're in L.A. because you guys just finished this super cool West Coast mini tour that you did.
Exactly, yes. I think you coined it the mini tour.
I did. I coined it the mini tour. And so how was it? Like, you know, I know
that... Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I mean... I always love touring the West Coast. I've got to say, every day has been a sunny day. Every day has been a bright day. Everybody's so positive out here. There's been so much positive energy around us. The shows have been fantastic. They've been, the attendances have been incredible. And this is kind of, we're just in between projects at the moment, really, and we just fancied getting out and playing for a bit. Because we always feel that we should never really leave it for too long, because the rust gets a little bit too difficult to shake off. So we always feel that we should get out from time to time. We thought it'd be great to get out to the West Coast, and it's a great time of the year to do it. And we've had a lot of good energy and love out here.
Yeah.
Of course, I met my teen idol last night.
I want to hear about this.
So I did meet him when I was 17. Generation X did a record signing in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And I took down my record, which was Your Generation. And it's the only record that I ever got signed. And I still have a copy of it, which I've got to find when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
The only band that they ever went out of my way to get autographs. And we met Durwood the other night. He came to one of the shows who was...
Oh, right.
He was a great guy. It was great to meet him. Saw Billy last night. I know Tony James, the bass player. I know him quite well. So the only one left is Mark Laff, the drummer. If Mark's out there anywhere, give me a call.
So wait, when you met Billy, like legitimately met him, did you tell him how you waited online to meet him when you
were? I did. Yeah. I told him that. Yeah.
What did he say?
We were talking about the early Gen X gigs in Birmingham, and actually the last time I saw Generation X in Birmingham at a place called Barbarella's. the crowd kind of took a dislike to the way Generation, they were kind of going a lot more glamoury. It was almost the beginning of his metamorphosis into what he became in America, which was a bit more of a mainstream kind of rock star. And they weren't liking that in the around the punk scene in Birmingham. So they got bottled off after two songs. They had to run out of the back door, get into their cars, and they had to leave the venue because there was... there was a riot going on, and I was there, and I was so pissed off because I'd gone to see my favorite band.
Oh my gosh!
Stage after two songs, so we had and Billy remembers that, and we had a good chat about that because that was kind of pre Rum Runner. A place called Barbarella's in Birmingham, which was kind of the you must have heard of that.
I have.
Pre romantic. More in the punk era. And I was there.
Did he have that spiky white hair then or no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's been there since 1977. I think Billy invented that.
He's lucky he has good hair because it's good. Not only does it stand the test of time, but it's not changed, has it?
No, it's not changed.
Wow. Go Billy. And so he lives in L.A. now. So what? What were you doing last night in LA that you got to meet your
team? Yeah, there was a charity event for musicians that have mental illness and depression. We had a center, I think, being set up in LA for that.
Oh, wow.
And that's pretty common amongst musicians, depression and mental illness. So
yeah.
I think people are attracted to music to try and, you know, they're trying to fill a hole. They're trying to make themselves better in some way by doing something extraordinary. And, of course, it works for a while. Then people kind of meet themselves, their real self again.
Yeah.
On the pathway. And, you know, the depression comes on again. And that's why there's so much drug abuse and alcoholism, I suppose, in the music industry. So it was a really good cause for that.
You didn't perform, did you?
No. Lots of very famous people there, but lots of people that have been in bands in LA over the last 40 years.
Very cool. Going back to the tour, I saw that crowd in Tahoe. I'm trying to think. I know you guys have played in, I think you've played in Tahoe before, but that was a pretty outstanding crowd, wouldn't you say? That was the show right before Cabo Del Mar. That was pretty good.
It was outstanding.
Yeah.
And we had no idea that there were going to be that many people there. We thought it was going to be a pretty low-key show. I could see the arena from my room in the hotel.
Yeah.
And about 10 minutes before I left my room for the show, there was nobody in there. It was completely empty. And then we walked on stage, and it was, oh, my God, this is, what an audience. It was a real shock to us, actually. It was suddenly almost felt like a festival.
I know. I hate to be a jerk, but
we rejigged the set while on stage, and so that's why Wild Boys ended up in the encore.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the perfect setting for Wild Boys.
Yeah.
So John kind of comes up and says, "Wild Boys, we need to put Wild Boys in." We end up doing a 4-song encore for the first time ever, I think.
Oh my gosh!
It really went out of storm. It was great.
I saw the pictures and I had to do a double take. Not that Ethan stuff, but I was like, "Whoa, that's a big crowd, man!"
But it kind of felt like the Paper Gods tour was like that as well.
Yeah.
As the tour went on, I mean, the audiences just got bigger and bigger and better.
Yeah.
And kind of felt like this on this tour as well. You know, it was a little bit like a snowball that just kind of starts to gather, you know, more and more people. And it was a great little run, actually.
Yeah, it was. Any songs you particularly enjoyed playing this run that you hadn't played or?
It was good to get anyone out there.
Yeah, that was a good
one. Out of the attic, that was good, and that really went down well. What else did we do that was not being done? Astronaut, we did Astronaut.
Yeah.
We kind of rejigged that for the NASA show and so on and say, we like playing that. Keep it in the set for a while.
Yeah.
That was fun to play. But we're so lucky, aren't we? We can just kind of pull on all these different periods and different songs and change it up.
You are.
Keeps people interested, doesn't it?
Yeah. I would like to see Falling Down come back somewhere, somehow. I really like that song.
That'd be kind of cool.
And like a little sort of, you know, slow bit.
I'd be trying to get Perfect Day back in the set.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah. I mean, just for like a one-off. But, you know,
never
seems to gain any ground, but there we are. I'll keep trying.
Call me. I'll put in a vote.
Okay.
And how was your summer? Did you guys go back into the studio? Hint, hint. Did you work on any new music? I saw you.
We spent quite a lot of time working on the new record. Which is pretty well advanced right now.
Yeah.
We're going to go back now and we're going to really try and get it finished for the spring. So hopefully we'll have a new record by the spring comes. Because we are pretty well advanced and we, because we're working with Errol Alkin and he's got such incredible energy for the project and he's really come on in with fresh legs and fresh ideas and a whole new way of looking at the recording of the record, and it's given us some, it's given us a good boot up the, he's given us a good boot up the backside.
Up the backside. And, is Errol the only producer you're working with, or you think there'll be more, or still open for discussion?
Possibly, yeah, yeah. We're doing a little bit with Mark Ronson. There's talk of doing something with Giorgio Moroder.
Right.
We've kind of bumped into him a few times over the last few months. So that's a possibility. But the bulk of the record is going to be all about Errol. Yeah. He's the main man.
That's very good. Very cool, Raj. I like that.
Yet another record.
Yes, this is a long time because I was thinking about this. You had Red Carpet Massacre. I think that was 2008, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2008? And then you had 2011 was All You Need Is Now. Or maybe it was 2010. Was it 2010 or 2011? I can't remember. And even though math's bad, I can't remember.
2011.
It was 11. Then 2015, for sure, with Paper Gods.
Yeah.
So this is a long stretch, 2020, 5 years later, if you can believe it.
It is quite a long stretch, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. Come on, man.
I think because
you toured a lot.
Paper Gods was so well received.
Yeah.
I think we, we did so much touring off the back of that record. I mean, just remember, I think it was about a 2 year tour. I mean, that just went on, and in a great way, it kind of just went on and on and on because people, I think people loved the record, and it re-stimulated a whole load of Duranis to come out and see us. So that really kept us occupied for a couple of years, and then we've been doing bits of touring as well since. We really only got back to the drawing board this year. Sometimes I think you do have to leave it for a while to get, get a renewed energy and enthusiasm for the project. So it's been good in a way that we've had quite a long break. And I think as this tour has shown, that people are still there, though. People never, particularly in America, people never forget us. It seems that we can go out and play anywhere, anytime, and people will show up, which is very reassuring.
That's pretty great. That's like the gift that keeps giving, right?
I think America particularly is the gift that keeps giving.
Yeah.
You said that in America, people, I think once you make it here, once you establish yourself here, you're not forgotten, which is a great thing, I think. Other parts of the world can be a little bit more fickle. A lot of the countries have got more into domestic music and their own output of music, where I think America always has its ears open. And there's a lot more loyalty, I think, which is great.
Yeah, sometimes I feel bad because I get emails from fans who want you to play in their country. And I think they don't understand that even though they and their friends' friends really want to see you play there, it takes more than that just to fill an arena. Obviously, you guys would love to go everywhere. Speaking of, would you ever think you guys would do a Vegas residency?
I don't know. It has been talked about. I think possibly if we got the right production.
Yeah.
We did talk about doing something with Cirque du Soleil for a while. Which would have been really interesting because I love that Beatles show, the Love Show. I did never see the Michael Jackson show as well. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
But that never quite came to fruition. So, yeah. You know, it had to be something really cool and really good and really exciting. Because also the idea of spending all that time in Vegas, I mean, not to offend anybody that loves Vegas, I think it's quite a difficult place to spend a lot of time in. I don't know. It's not like being in New York or LA or London or Paris or whatever. It's got a whole... a different ball game, isn't it? And I can't quite imagine spending months there. I think it'd be a bit tricky. So it'd have to be something really exciting.
And also you have a young family, and I think what people do is they like live in LA and then
come in
on Thursday, Friday, Saturday or something.
You're still commuting there every day, which
that's tough.
Which has its own things, but maybe who knows.
Who knows? You're open-minded, Raj.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you doing any DJ work coming up? Like, I always get questions, and I know you did something for Dennis for his gallery. Was it summer? Was it spring? Any DJ gigs coming
up? Actually. I'm actually doing a night at Annabelle's in London.
Oh.
On the 4th of October. Which is going to be a whole night of my music.
Wow.
The next thing coming up.
Can anybody go to that? Like, are there tickets available?
No, I think it's a private. I think you have to be a member, I think.
I'll find out.
Yeah. But that's going to be cool.
That's very cool. And then just working on the new album, right?
Yeah. And apart from that, just getting back to the record.
Goodness. This is me, Raj. This is all very exciting. Well, I have to say, I know that you didn't have loads of time and you gave lots to us. So thank you so much. Roger and I were talking before we start our cafe that we're both feeling slightly under
thank
the weather.
You. Yeah.
A little throaty, as Raj said.
Both sound a little bit croaky.
We do.
I don't know why.
But, no, you sound good. You don't sound so bad.
Yeah, okay.
Actually. Loved seeing the crowd reaction to you guys. Hopefully there'll be some more dates before the new album comes out in the spring. Maybe a little East Coast love. Oh, you did that show at NASA in Florida. I guess that is East Coast. And that was super fun. If not very,
yeah, that
very
was great.
Hot.
I've got to say, yeah. That was quite something, and I think that was Nick kind of fulfilled a dream with that show.
Yeah.
I think because you know Nick loves NASA and he loves space and he loves astronauts and he loves all that stuff so much. So I think for Nick that was a dream come true for him, and it was such an incredible show. You know, we used the string section, we used the vocal choir, we had the drones. I mean, it was really something.
All those drones.
really spectacular to be involved in.
Yeah.
And it all turned out really well, despite the fact that we only had one evening to rehearse everything, which was kind of interesting.
But it was so great.
It worked out well. Yeah. Of course, you were there, and Hannah was there, and Julian was there. So it was a really, that was memorable. It was an incredible night, wasn't it, Beth?
Yeah, it truly was spectacular. One for the books, Raj. One for the books.
Yeah, definitely. So it's great that we can still keep doing these things. You know, it's great that we can still do these things that, you know, one-offs that we've never done before, you know, in a different way. It's a whole different perspective. It's a different way of doing the show. So it's great to be doing that stuff because it keeps us interested as well. So hopefully more like that.
Yeah, you guys never phone it in. Nobody can ever accuse you guys of phoning it in.
Never. I think the day that starts happening, not going to be a good day, shall we say.
No, it won't happen.
We're still not arguing, but we're having real discussions about the set list every night. 5 minutes before we go on stage. You know, you've been there.
I've seen it. Yeah.
Another one. So you're right. It's never dialed in. And I think we're still very passionate about it.
Yeah.
And as I was saying to somebody last night, you know, you get to a point in life where you're just really happy to be here still. You're really happy to still be in the room, you know.
And
we all feel now, and that's what kind of spurs us on.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great? You really have to have perspective, you know, and I hate to say you obviously can't feel that way until you've reached a certain age, but once you get there, it's sort of a little victory, you know?
Yes.
To look back and...
Well, every day feels like a victory. Yeah, there's so many people that fall by the wayside. For, you know, for every Elton John and for every Billy Idol and for every Duran Duran,
the
100 artists that were great and talented and amazing, but somehow they fell by the way. They went the wayside, or you know, they kind of fell down the back of the sofa. You know,
and
you never hear of them again. So it's. And we feel very fortunate to be one of the ones that can still play and still have an audience.
It's funny you say that, because I was listening to something on the radio, on satellite radio, for One Hit Wonders, and they played a song by Marillion, who I think were much bigger in the UK than they were in America.
They were huge.
Right.
Massive in the UK.
But Brian had never heard of them, and I vaguely remembered. So then we went on with Google, and we couldn't believe how big they were.
For every Iron Maiden.
Right.
We're like, still playing mega stadiums.
Yep, Castle Donington.
It's a Marillion that had an equally big career, that on an equally big label, but had as many hit records that... Maybe they're still out there playing somewhere, but they're not playing at the local stadium.
No.
It's really interesting the way that happens, actually.
Yeah.
For every U2, there's another band
country.
That really is great and big, but just to make it. So, happy here.
Yes, sir. Well, we're happy to have you in the cafe. And when I get you back, will be unbelievably the holidays. And we'll be talking about our year end list. So get thinking now, Raj, because we'll be here.
I will. Yeah. I've already got a few. So don't worry.
All right, because we'll be here before we know it, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for
the call.
Thanks for making the time for us at the cafe, and we will see you soon.
Yeah. Okay. Good luck with the throat.
Okay, you too. Bye, Raj.
Bye. Bye-bye.